From Spark and Anvil and Numberverse, this is V in Chapter 1 of the Numberverse cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2. V grew up beside a tournament field, where every summer, the whole province came to run, wrestle, throw, and argue about who had won. Her family were the stewards of the field, the people who, before every contest, arranged the entrance in order. Not the winners, that was the contest job. The starting order. Who ran in the first heat, who in the last, who was seated first, who 10th. And to arrange a field of runners in order, you had to do one thing, over and over, honestly. Take two of them and decide which was faster, which was stronger, which, by the previous year's marks, was greater. You never order the whole field at once, her grandfather told her, chalk in hand. You can't. The mind won't hold 30 runners at once. You order them two at a time. This one or that one, which is greater. Set the greater ahead. Then the next two. The whole field falls into order out of nothing but little comparisons, each one small enough for a fair mind to make.
V's given name was Ada, but she had been called V since she was 11, when she settled a shouting match between two throwers by chalking their two marks side by side, drawing a single line to show which reached further, and saying plainly, "This one is greater. There is nothing to argue." The crowd went quiet. Ada had vied them, set them against each other, and named the winner, and the name stuck. She understood magnitude before she had a word for it. A number, to V, was a reach. The runner who reached the further mark was greater. The number that sat further along the line was greater. To compare two numbers, you did not need to subtract them or fret over them. You only had to see which one reached further down the line. She learned to read the two of them from the front. Compare the biggest positions first. A number with more digits reaches further than one with fewer, the way a longer stride covers more ground. If they have the same number of digits, compare the leading digit. Then the next, and the first place where they differ decides it. The one with the larger digit there is greater, and nothing behind it can change the verdict.
An academy examiner passed through the tournament one year to judge the scholar's foot race and watched V seed a field of 40 in the time it took him to lace his boots. "You are ordering," he said, "by repeated comparison. We teach exactly that, least to greatest, and most children find it slippery." "It is not slippery," said V. "It is only this one or that one, done until you run out of pairs." The examiner offered her a place. V, who had never wanted anything but the field, surprised herself by wanting the academy too. She has taught comparing and ordering for 7 years. In her classroom, V keeps a long rope stretched across the room, pinned with numbers, and she keeps two great wooden signs, one shaped like a mouth open wide, one shaped like a mouth closed to a point. She begins the same way each year. She holds up 406 and 460 and asks, "Which is greater?" The children hunt through the digits. V stops them. "From the front," she says. "Both start with 400. Same. Then this one has no tens, and that one has six tens. Six tens beats no tens. So 460 is greater, decided at the tens, and nothing after it matters." Then she brings out the mouth. The greater than sign is hungry. Its wide mouth always opens toward the bigger number, its little point toward the smaller. 460 is greater than 406. She sets the open mouth facing the larger. The children see that the sign is not a rule to memorize, but a picture of an appetite. It eats the bigger meal. Then she gives them the whole field. She scatters 10 numbers on the floor and asks the class to lay them along the rope from least to greatest. The children panic at 10 at once, until a boy named Fenn picks up two, decides which is greater, and sets them down in order. Then two more. Then two more. The rope fills. The panic drains out of the room. They have ordered 10 numbers and never once held more than two in their heads.
Fenn stayed after and said he had thought ordering 10 numbers would be 10 times as hard as comparing two, and it had turned out to be the same easy thing, just repeated, and he did not understand why it had frightened him. V sat with him on the floor by the rope. She said big tasks often look like one enormous cliff when they are really a stairway of small, fair steps. 30 runners frightened me too once, she said. Then my grandfather showed me it was never 30 at all. It was always just this one or that one. You can always do this one or that one. Fenn looked at the ordered rope, the whole tangled crowd of numbers now lying quiet and in line, and felt the particular relief of a thing that had looked impossible turning out to be small and possible and already done. V is direct, a little competitive, and cannot pass two of anything without silently deciding which is greater. She still stewards the tournament each summer, and she still seeds the field two at a time. And there is a quiet gladness in her now, watching a crowd that once shouted itself hoarse stand calm and in order along the rope. The same relief she felt as a girl the first time a shouting match went silent under a single fair line. The feeling of fairness landing softly where noise used to be.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to V. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.